Good morning to you guys again. Can I be real with you guys? Okay. It's good that I can share with you guys some things that's going on with me, and you guys won't point your finger. I guess I'll start with the title, and then I'll let you guys in on a story. The title that I came up with is, "It's Hard Being a Christian in Charlotte Traffic." So, can anybody, do you understand where I'm coming from? Tuesday, we had a board meeting, and I had just come from work. The place I work is right off I-77. I got off at 3, at about 5 o'clock. I was still sitting in traffic. I saw people give me, say I was number one by giving me the whatever. I saw people curse me out and anybody else, and they would block to make sure you couldn't get in one lane or the other. I said, I'm going to pray. Until the one person behind me started honking their horn for no reason, because there's nothing I can do. I'm standing too, but they decided I'm just going to honk my horn. And that's when I wanted to lay hands on that gentleman. And I was seriously considering about getting out of the car and showing them who Jesus really was at that time. So as I go and I finally make it home to find out that my youngest had baseball practice, which means I got to go back to Charlotte. So we rush. I forget my cell phone. I know I have to be here at 6 o'clock. And as you start calculating the time in your head, it's like, this isn't going to happen. And it never fails. I always miss it by about 15 minutes. And I was late about 10, 15 minutes, and I came in. And instead of saying, hey, I'm sorry I'm late, good evening, I was like, it's hard being a Christian driving in Charlotte traffic. And Pastor kind of looked at me and said, wow, you okay? And that's when I had to look at myself and say, no, I'm not. I'm damaged because of the traffic. I allowed traffic to change my attitude with everything. Once again, I know that there was supposed to be a special speaker that was supposed to come in and preach this morning. And so Thursday, I get a phone call from, well, I get a text from Pastor, and I was like, nope, I'm not going to receive that. So this time I called him, I played dumb, and I called him and was like, yeah, Pastor Brown, what's up? He's like, hey, Richard, got a little problem. I'm leaving. I was like, yeah, we're going to be praying for you. And he's like, well, I don't have anybody speaking Sunday morning. I was like, that's a problem. So as he actually laughed too, and was like, well, you're it. And I was like, oh, okay. And so he's like, I was like, but Pastor, I really don't have anything to say that I can bring. He's like, hey, you remember what you said Tuesday? And he started laughing because he remembered what I said. He said, that'd be a great message. How ironic that this is what the Lord gave me to talk about. I drive a lot. So as I drive every morning into work, I see people reading the newspaper while driving, eating breakfast. Some are shaving. Some are putting on makeup. I see some disciplining their kids. Some are trying to get that last few minutes of sleep. But it really got me, when you really think about all of this, we really don't know what's going on with the other person. And with that, I was like, okay, Lord, we're talking about traffic here. How's this going to relate to anything? And he's like, we're going to wait a little bit. I'm going to make you trust me. And you guys heard me talk about me and trusting the Lord. It's hard for me sometimes because I want to do it. Come on. We got to do it. And the Lord says, no, sometimes you just got to wait. Just trust me. So he did it again. This morning, as I was getting up, he gave me some scriptures. And during that time, I was like, well, first, thank you, Lord, for giving me something to say. But and the other part of it is, it hit me pretty hard because it was like, wow, we could be the last person that someone ever saw. Have you ever thought about that? You hear so many stories about people committing suicide or were in the process of going to commit suicide. And because one person smiled at them, or one person said, God bless you, or one person just touched their shoulder, said, I'm thinking about you, that got them to change their mind. We have no idea how powerful love is. So as he was kind of giving me that background, he was giving me some scriptures. There are three elements that he was showing me. First one is love. The second one is light. And the third one is salt. What is love? God is love. He created all things. When he formed the earth and us, he also created love. Let's go into Matthew 22:37-40. Let me know when you're there. You know what's amazing? They need bigger iPads for people with big hands because I fat finger everything that goes on and then I forget the scripture and it takes me a minute, so just bear with me. Everybody there? What did I say? Matthew 22. See, I told you. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, in my eyes, it was Charlotte traffic. It could be something else for you. It could be that crazy great aunt that comes on the holidays that there's something wrong there. You always go and ask mom that question, hey, is there something wrong with that lady or what was going on? Or it could be... he's still my brother-in-law, Curly. My brother-in-law, when he talks to you, he is right in your face. So you get the spit and everything else that comes along with it. And I never knew why, you know, because even my brothers, anytime my brothers would come around and my brother-in-law would come, they were like, hold on, this guy, let me get my shield on because this guy's going to, and they would always say, well, Richard, why is he like that? Come to find out that he was abused when he was little. When somebody would talk to him and show him any kind of affection, he got in your face because he was so in love with someone who would just talk to him. Makes you think about it, huh? Now, every time I see him, I let him just spit away. But it's like I said, it's those little things that we take for granted that in his eyes, he's showing affection to me. Richard, I love you because you're listening tentatively to what I'm saying to you. No one's ever done that before. So think, the next time somebody gets in your face and talks and they're just spitting away, love them. Love them. You have no idea. Sorry about this. Hold on one second. Let's go to Colossians 3, 12 and 17. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version. Therefore, as the elected of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. You remember that spit? Long-suffering. Sometimes there's consequences. Long-suffering. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Amen. Now, as I'm giving you these scriptures, think back again. You're in traffic, and you got the horns blaring, and you got people saying you're number one, and you've got all these things going on, and remembering, can't go back and do that. It's so easy to, believe me, it's so easy to do that. But we are supposed to have the mind of Christ. Ephesians 4, 2 and 3. Everybody there? Once again, I'm fat fingering again, I tell you. Be completely, completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Even when that great aunt is going crazy, even when the traffic is crazy, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. How hard is that when we turn on the news? There are some people there, depending on, I think everybody has that one or two anchor people that they would love to just choke them right out of the TV set. Anybody witness that? Yes. Frustration. I'm just sharing you my frustration. And the thing about it is, as I share you this, it's not to say that this supersedes God's word. All I'm doing is showing you I'm human. And I am so thankful that because of the grace of God, he can always turn me back around and say, Richard, you're getting off track here, buddy. I got to get you back on track. Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that a blessing that we're able to have a father that continuously corrects us, continuously keeps us on the right path? Amen? So we talked about love. And those were a few scriptures that the Lord brought to my mind. Now we're going to talk a little bit about light. What is light? Light is the bright form of energy given off by something like the sun that makes it possible to see. I wear glasses so I can somewhat see. I need to get new glasses so I can really see. But how many of you cannot see in the spiritual? Do you get what I'm saying here? How many of you can see things in the natural and everything, you see it as it is? I have a friend that she would always tell somebody, don't be stupid in my life. I don't have the time or patience to deal with your stupidness. Okay. I'm working too hard to do the right thing for the Lord. And I'm thinking, really? So you're going to come out like that and you're doing this and where's your patience? Oh, I don't have any patience. Oh, okay. And now you see where the eyes, the spiritual eyes, these are the kind of things that sometimes it's easy to say because we're frustrated. We see so many things going on and there's frustration. We're all frustrated. We all have our own problems, our own situations. But in the light of things, we, as Christians, can go to our Lord and Savior. And do we often always do that? Or do we keep it in? And things get really tight. And next thing you know, you got an anger problem. The next time that knucklehead comes over here, I'm going to punch you. Do we get that way? I do. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a super Christian. Let's turn to 1 John 1:5-7. In it, it says, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness. I think Cameron made reference to that. There is absolutely no darkness in God. I don't care what nobody says, there is no darkness in God. Where was I at? I lost my... If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Matthew 5:14-16, and every time I read this, I think of this church right here. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. We can't be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampshade, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If there's anything more, it is not what I do for my career or that I father of four kids or whatever. It's what I've done for my Lord. That means the most to me. And I never realized how important that is, because there's somebody here that has probably never heard the word. This would be the first time. It could be the last time. We never know the opportunities that we have to witness to another person. I'll share a little bit the recovery program. It's easy for me to share something like this because in our program, we talk about these very things. A lot of people are scared to come into this room because they're scared somebody's going to point at them. You're different. You've got a problem. You've got this going on. You have an addiction. And what we found out is, some of you have seen this, but for every finger that you point, you have three fingers pointing right back at you. Isn't it amazing how God can really show you out? But the thing that really hit me in that is a shame. Shame on us to point the finger at anybody. Because we all of us have fallen short. So anytime, whether they're gay, they have an addiction, drugs, alcohol, pornography, it doesn't matter. Adultery, it does not matter. Jesus wants them here, not out there. This is a healing station. And we have to treat it as a healing station. No longer should we push away. We should be bringing them in. In all honesty, all of us should be spending more time here. Because I got problems, don't you? Huh? I fall short every day. Every morning I say, I remember as a little kid, and my parents believed in beating your butts. And I remember I had to have been about 6 or 7. I remember getting up one morning and praying, Lord, make me good, please. I am so tired of getting a beating. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I got baptized when I was little. So as a child, you know, we were always, we as, well, I was Baptist, and I grew up, if you wanted to, things were a little bit different back in the 70s. Back then, my grandmother, rest her soul, she got tired of us running to the back of the church to drink grape juice. So she said, you're going to have real communion. And she got us to understand what communion was all about. And she said, the only way you're going to do that is you're going to get baptized. So we didn't know what baptized meant. We just knew, hey, if you're going to get grape juice, we got to get baptized. Until we had, our pastor was Reverend McClendon, and we had Pastor Hill. Pastor Hill was the same man that baptized my dad. So it was an honor. But yet this man was a very scary man because he had, it was in the way he talked.
He was like that.
He was one of those kind of preachers. So as a little kid, that just frightened me. But I knew, hey, if I'm going to get the grape juice, I got to deal with this. Once we understood that whole concept, the thing, I guess, the focus is we had to understand. And once we understood what that meant, man, was it a blessing to understand that, hey, when you got dunked in that water, your sins were saved. You were saved. All the sin. And as a little child, you don't quite catch on, but as you grow as you start reading in the Word, things start, it's like, oh, okay, this makes sense. If I didn't do this, this wouldn't be the consequence. You start learning. But I think we had in our intercessory prayer, we were praying over children. And I broke down because I am so blessed because I had great-grandparents, I had grandparents, and I had my parents on me like you don't know what, praying over me, making sure that I understood a foundation of what Jesus Christ was all about for me. Now I have 4 children and a grandbaby, and it's funny how the tides change. My parents are growing older. Now I'm a grandparent, and how it's so important to lead our children in the right direction. You know? So we talked a little bit about the light. And let's go into the salt real quick so I can finish this up. You guys might be able to get in early for lunch. I'm gonna try to help you guys out here. Work with me here. Let's look at Matthew 5:13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." So salt is a seasoning and a preserve. Your words, everything that comes out of your mouth is seasoned with something. It's either good or evil. It's either death or life. What are you speaking? What are you speaking? Are you preserving life? Are you condemning life? What are you speaking? Every time that guy cuts in front of you, are you truly blessing him? There's something to think about. Colossians 4:3-6. Everybody got it? In Colossians 4:3-6, it says, where am I at? Come on. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, pray also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak, the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And that's basically saying that door of opportunity, once again, that door of opportunity to speak into someone's life. In the Message version of it, I'll read that to you. It says, pray diligently, stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Don't forget to pray for us that God will open doors for telling the mystery of Christ. Even while I'm locked up in this jail, pray that every time I open my mouth, I'll be able to make Christ plain as day to them. How many of you want to make Christ plain as day to the lost? Amen. Do you realize that if using God's calculation, and I have no idea his calculation because it's so enormous, but just think about it as we can concept that. If each of us touch one life, how much of a difference that would make in our community? Now, what is it? What is the calculation for every 1,000 God does what? You guys remember? What is it? Does anybody know that? God's calculation. Nobody knows it. You know what I'm talking about? This is a trick question. Somebody get a gold star. That's it. Say it again, please. Okay, so if one day is as 1,000 years, one person praying is as though 1,000 people. And you do the calculation from there, because it goes totally, it doesn't go the way we think it needs to go. It goes the way he thinks it needs to go. And thank God for that, huh? Because I'm one of those 900, no. If it's one for every 1,000, I was 1,001. Thank God that I got caught in that calculation at 1,001. He remembered me. He remembered you. Amen? So, love, light, and salt. We all know what we need to do now. We have to love. Love one another. Let me ask you, do you love yourself? If you do, raise your hand. If you love yourself, there's some people here that don't love themselves. And the Bible says for us to love God with all our heart and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That means we got work to do. If there are people that don't love themselves, we have a problem. We have an epidemic. This is the reason why we have so many people committing suicides. This is the reason why we have all these different resources for drugs and alcohol and all these different things. Why? Because we're looking for an avenue to escape. I'm going through all this and there's nothing that can help me. So, how many are willing to love not only God with all their heart, but for the man and or woman sitting right next to you? You know what I mean? It's the little things. God is about, if we understood the little things, God would probably blow us up with these large things. But he wants us to really intentively understand the little things. Does your light shine through all men, to all men? Or do you have that flickering light? Do you need to add fuel to your lamp? Do you need to change the batteries? Questions. Are you seasoned and preserved in the Word and in prayer? Or do you go out, I need my coffee, keys, iPhone, and I'm out the door? How many of us forget to say, thank you, Lord? How many of us, what's the saying? Brother keeps, he says this to me all the time. He's like, kick your house shoes as far underneath the bed as you possibly can, so you have to get on your knees and pray. And I was like, man. That is power. Those are the most powerful words I ever heard. But I find myself, the older I get, the more and more I can't start my day without getting on my knees and thanking the Lord. With everything that's going on in my life, I got to put him first. I got to know that I'm not going to go in my strength today. That, Lord, if you don't come through in your strength, I'm not going to make it. I'm just letting you know. Everything that you got, everything that I need. And if I can't get it, I'm not going to succeed today. That's my prayer every morning. But I have to be honest with you. When I get on I-77, oh boy, the devil kicks in, doesn't he? just a reminder is all I'm wanting to do. It's just enlighten you the moments of how that little knucklehead devil will try to creep in and take over and make a whole, take you from where God is about to bless you to you're going downhill and you're suffering. He wants to see you defeated in everything, in every manner. And I'm here to say, I want him defeated. He is defeated. And we have to remember that. I have to remember that. Just as I'm saying this, he is already defeated. He's done. He just wants to take as many as he can before he goes down. And my plea to you is we have to be in love. We have to love God with all our heart. Because if we don't love him, we can't love anything else. We have to love one another as we love ourselves. So first, the first part is we got to love ourselves. We got to know that love is, we got to. We just got to do this. So we can love one another. We have to make a difference. A lot of, you know, you have all these record artists wanting to make a difference. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And they're leading kids straight to hell. But yet we sit back and we're not doing what we need to do. Thank you, Miss Roxanne, for saying, you know what? Youth is important. Amen. Amen. We should be jumping for joy because my son right there, I know what he's fed. I'm on him day and night. He will tell you. And I'm not afraid to embarrass him because this is God's house. It's not an embarrassment. It's to let him know how much I love him. God's got a calling on his life. I don't know what it is, but he's got to find out. And I want to make sure he has that avenue to find out. Joe, where is Joe at? Brother Joe, I know he's doing this little get together and the Cooper family, the other Cooper family. Bless them for opening their doors. Anybody that has anything to do with the youth, you just don't understand. That is our future now. It's not tomorrow. Miss Judy corrected me. I'm just going to share this. We were talking about kids, and she told, I thank this woman because she set me straight, and I correct myself every time I think of that word kids. It does give me a little bit of a, she was sharing about how, and I may get the story a little mixed up a little bit, but it had to do with, I can't wait to get my kids back at school. Like they were just these crackheads that didn't mean anything. And it bothered, the way she said it though, you know, we can laugh at this, but the way she said it, it was like, I remember when this baby was born and how I bless and praise the Lord that that child was healthy. The Lord blessed us with Jacob Mackenzie Cooper. And yet I'm going to curse him. How could I do that? You know, how can we do that? And now it's a stigma every time that I hear, and I've heard, now I hear it all the time, and now it frustrates me because the first thing I want to do is punch him in the neck. It's like, you don't call your children kids or precious. In fact, the word says we're supposed to be more like children, which means we got some growing up to do. Wow. This is sin. I pray that what I brought, it opened your eyes on a few things. I come from a crazy family. I am blessed with my crazy family. I have seen a lot of silly things. I enjoy life. I enjoy what God is showing me. I have two brothers that we are comedians to each other. We giggle like little girls. I'll be honest with you. I'm the oldest of the three, but we get on the phone and there's always somebody that says, okay, you guys got to get off the phone now. But it is so enjoyable to see life through comedy, through fun. And sometimes you got to look back at yourself. And Jacob can attest to this. I talk about my dad all the time. And the more and more I talk about my dad, I become more and more just like him. And it's irritating because my brothers call me out on it all the time. But it's the little things. It's amazing how God shows us little things that can make such a difference. The next time you get on that interstate, smile. Bless, and when I say bless, I mean truly bless the people who are driving next to you. You don't know what they're going through. We have no clue what these people are going through. And we live in Charlotte is what, 1 million and some? Or 2 million and some, I don't know, somewhere close to that. There are all walks of lives. There are people that believe in God. There's people that don't. There may come a point where your prayer will make a difference, or your smile will make a difference, or your, hey, I love you, will make a difference. You never know. And that's all God is wanting us to do. Let's be salt. And I'm going to have to salt. I've heard my mom say many times, don't be salty, meaning don't have an attitude. So we can't have an attitude. Let's get the salt side right, okay? The salt is, hey, we're going to season into your life. We're going to preserve good things in your life by words, by, hey, let me give you a hug. Hey, I'm here for you. Let me listen to what you got to say. You never know. You never know. We're here to be advocates for the Lord. We are the hands, feet of God. Sometimes he wants us just to go to that next person and give them a hug. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes it's not going out and preaching the word or I got a scripture for you, brother. It's, hey, let me shake your hand. Let me give you a hug. Hey, can I pray for you? Hey, let's just sit down, have breakfast or something. You never know. Some of you people have come to me and have said words that you just don't even know. Miss Pat, what that woman told me last week, it was engraved in my heart. Because sometimes, you know, the devil will always say, you don't know what you're talking about. You're an idiot for getting up there. What you just did, you made a complete idiot of yourself. Or you've done this, or you've done that. And sometimes it's that word of encouragement of, man, you don't know how powerful that was. How powerful was it? Because I had no clue what I was saying. You get what I'm saying? It's, if we do that to one another, how uplifting. Every light, we will shine so bright. And that's what this is all about. We will shine so bright that every person that comes in here with some kind of deficiency will go out rewarded, blessed. They will come back and go out a new person. Isn't that what we want? Aren't we tired of just coming in? Thank you, Jesus. Well, go out. Let's go have breakfast. Aren't we tired of that? Don't we want to go out and the next thing you know, we're eating somewhere and you just touch a waitress and boom, she's healed. Or you open your wallet and you have that extra $100 that you had no clue you had, and you give it to a waiter and not realizing he needed that to turn on his lights. What a difference we can make if we trust in him, if we just do the little things. Salt, light, love. Amen.